Well, hello, everybody.
Kind of loud.
We're going to start out with a little group participation. So get ready to raise your hands, okay? And I'm going to ask you, this is not what you do for a living, okay? So what type of woman are you? Who would say you're a teacher? Raise your hand if you think you're a teacher. Okay. Who would say you're someone who really loves animals? Who would say you enjoy serving others? Okay. Who would say you're crafty? Okay. How about artistic, musically? Or art? I know Tiffany's very artistic. Okay. There are many, many kinds of women. Some of you raised your hands for several things. So you're either a person who has a lot of time on their hands, or you're extremely busy. Well, we all can be busy, but there's some responsibilities we all share. One that we say at Graham Emanuel is we have the responsibility to know God and make Him known. How can we do this without it all being surface stuff? I know everybody here is a Christian. We've all accepted Christ and His sacrifice on the cross for our sins. We all have eternal life through Jesus, and we celebrate that life. Every Sunday, we come together as a congregation, and we celebrate together. But does it stop there? Is that enough just to show up on Sundays, or to show up once a month for this, or to go to a Bible study? You know, we all have lists. We're women of lists, whether it's in our head or we write it down. We're all women of lists. And whether you're married or whether you're single, life has a way of getting overwhelmingly busy. It gets so busy sometimes, we find ourselves making excuses for why we're not spending time with the Lord. We call Him Lord. We pray to the Lord. But is he the Lord of our lives, really? A long time ago, there was a woman named Lydia, and she knew. After Jesus had died on the cross, had been in the grave for 3 days, and was resurrected, He appeared to many people, the Bible tells us. And He gave His disciples and His followers the job of spreading the good news to all nations. Now, this was a very important job, obviously. If they would have not listened, where would we be? One of those He chose to spread the good news was a man by the name of Saul. Now, Saul was a horrible person. He was a villain, if you will. He was a Jewish man who was very pious. He was a Jew of Jews. He had all the pedigree. He was held in high esteem. And he did not like Christ followers. He did not like Christians. He would hunt them down and he would kill them. He was extremely feared among the Christians. Then one day, I think we know the story, on his way to Damascus, a bright light hit him in the face. It was Jesus. And he said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul went into the city, had some tutoring, and came out as Paul. Paul was a very strong Jesus lover. The Christians didn't know what to do with him. They were afraid of him, but yet now he was proclaiming Christ. So let's turn in our Bibles to Acts 16. Paul would go around and speak to the Jewish people. He wanted them to know Jesus. He wanted them to know what he had found. And one night, in Acts 16, verses 9 and 10, it tells us that during the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, Macedonia was a city of Gentiles. So this represented God telling Paul, you also need to tell the Gentiles. So they packed their bags and they headed for Macedonia. Paul and his companions went to the city of Philippi, which was the leading city in the district of Macedonia. It was a huge, thriving community. It was a trade center. They traded by land and they traded by sea. Anyone in the import-export business was there. This was the place to make or break you if you were a good merchant. Many, many goods were bought and sold in Philippi. It was a thriving city. And even though Paul knew that God had called him to speak to the Gentiles, he planned first to go to the Jews. And normally what Paul would do, he would go to a city and he would look for the synagogue. Now, a synagogue has to have at least 10 members, 10 men. That's called a minyan. Philippi is in Europe, so there weren't very many Jewish people there. There weren't enough for a synagogue. But Paul still wanted to reach the Jewish people first. The women, however, were not required to be in a synagogue. So what they would do is each Sabbath, they went to the river, and they would learn about God, they would pray, they would spend time worshiping. And this is where he met Lydia. In Acts 16, 13 through 15, if you'd look there, I'm going to read from the New King James Version. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. So who was this Lydia? Well, it tells us she was a dealer of purple cloth. Purple, as we know, in those days represented wealth and royalty. So she must have been good at what she did, because she was known throughout the region as the seller of purple cloth. She was a businesswoman in the import-export business in a thriving city. She must have been well off because she had this business. It seems that she was single, because if she would have had a husband, she would have been expected to be at home and not running a business. She was from the city of Thyatira, and she was a worshiper of God. She is also remembered as the original convert for the gospel in Europe. She was not European. Again, she was from the city of Thyatira. Acts 16:6 tells us that Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. This is the province that Thyatira is in. So if Lydia would have been in Thyatira, she would have not heard the gospel. Instead, the gospel reached her in Europe. It pursued her to Europe. So let's go to our fill-ins. The first one, Lydia was not Jewish. Lydia was a Gentile. Lydia was truly seeking God, and God was drawing her to himself. She went every Sabbath to learn what these women knew about God. She believed that Yahweh was the true God, and she wanted to learn as much as she could about him. She wanted to soak in everything they had to say. John 6:44 tells us, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." Acts 16:14 describes Lydia as a worshiper of God. What does this mean? It means that she was seeking him constantly. She was praying to him, she was learning about him, and she intellectually knew that he was the one true God. But she had not converted to Judaism. In Acts 16:14, in the New King James, it states that Lydia heard us. This is translated from the Greek word prosekein, which means intently listening. She was hanging on Paul's every word. She wanted to know who God was, who this Jesus was, what had he done, what were his miracles, why she should know him, why, just everything about him. Her heart was open. It was open to the gospel. It was ready. She was ready to learn. She was a genuine seeker of God. She truly, truly wanted to know who God was and what he was about. Lydia was listening, but it was God who gave her the ears to hear. So we see in this account of Lydia God's sovereignty. First of all, the Lord orchestrated the events that brought Paul to Macedonia. Through the vision, he brought him. The Lord also brought Lydia there with her business, and it was thriving. The Lord drew her to the riverside with a seeking heart. And once Lydia heard, really heard the message, the Lord opened her heart. She was ready to receive God's gift of salvation. And she was baptized along with her household. Now her household could have been her family, her extended family, or it could mean the servants in her household or those who worked with her. Being baptized was her immediate response of obedience to Christ. And again, it was unlikely she was married because it refers to her household. If she would have been married, it would have referred to her husband's household. And she ran a business. So if she had a family, again, she would not have been running the business. She would have been busy at home. Verse 15 tells us that she then invited Paul and those with him to her home. As a matter of fact, it says she begged us to be her guests. What else does this tell us about Lydia? She was definitely a woman of means. She had a home in Thyatira. She had a home in Philippi. She would have needed servants to run both households as well as workers to help her run her business. She was able to host Paul, Silas, Timothy, Luke, and probably others. This would have included their shelter, their food, and any other needs they would have had while they were her guests. There doesn't seem to be a timeline for how long they were there, so she was offering them indefinite hospitality. Later in the book of Acts, we read of Paul and Silas when they were beaten and thrown into jail for preaching the gospel. This also happened in Philippi. Then God caused a great earthquake. They were freed and led the jailer and his household to the Lord. So by hosting these men, she was giving them a place, a home base, from which to go forth and evangelize. Now this could have put her in a really bad light with the local authorities. It could have ruined her business, could have ruined her reputation in the community. She could have been thrown in jail. Paul and Silas and Timothy stayed with Lydia for quite some time, and they were able to begin a small church where people responded to the gospel. Because of Lydia's hospitality, the gospel was able to get a foothold in Philippi. She has the kind of hospitality that Scripture demands of all of us. So, back to what kind of women are we? Was Lydia a superwoman? Is that why she could accomplish so much? No, I think it was simply because Lydia put God first in her life and his calling. She spent time with him before she really knew who he was, and she put him first when she came to know him. She did this first, not after everything else was completed. He wasn't the end of her day. He was the beginning and all through her day. And we have this responsibility. As things change, things also stay the same. As a businesswoman, I believe Lydia probably had her lists. She probably had to dye the cloth, know who was going to cut it, know who was going to sell it, who was going to send it out, who was going to pick it up. She also had a household to run. She probably had lists, just like we all have lists. But she made God a priority. How do we do in this area? How can we improve in this area? Lydia was devoted to God. Are we devoted to God? One way we can be devoted to God and to seek God is by being in his word. Not as a chore, not as an obligation, but really because we are seeking the Lord. Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So, is reading our daily bread every day enough? Is opening our Bible and putting our fingers somewhere and saying, oh, this must be what God wants me to read today, enough? Should we be reading 10 chapters a day? Is that enough? We need to be studying our Bible. How do we do that? Well, you know, we can look at a person like Lydia. I can't tell you how many hours I spent studying Lydia. It was wonderful. It was amazing. There's a lot of people in the Bible that we can study. A lot of women, there's a lot of men. We can study the disciples, you can study a topic. Maybe you're struggling with fear or depression, anxiety, finances, anything. It's all in the book. God's put it all there. Lydia didn't have the Bible. We do. You can get a Bible study. You can talk to your mentor. They can probably tell you different ones they've used. There's Bible bookstores, we have the World Wide Web. You can find anything. We need to make God a priority. We need to be spending time with him daily. This is a great thing. Tuesday night, once a month, it's not enough. Our daily bread, it's a snack. I keep one in my car. You know, when I'm waiting for my kids, I pull it out. We need to be studying God's word and getting to know him better. We could live 100 lifetimes and not know God. We need to be in his word, seeking God daily. The other way is by spending time in prayer. Not a few minutes. I know I have been guilty of this in the past. You wake up, hey God, thanks for another day. Help me to get through it. I'll talk to you later. You go about your day. Busy, 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 busy. Back in bed. Okay, God, thanks. I'm really tired. Maybe tomorrow. You know? Not enough. Not enough. We need to be spending time in prayer. Again, getting to know God. One thing that a lot of people have used is the word acts, if you're not sure. A, adoration. Start with adoration of the Lord. I mean, there are a million ways you can do it. You can do it through prayer. You can sit there and sing. You can write God a poem. Just tell him, praise him, thank him for all the wonderful things in your life. Everything he's done. You can praise him for nature. You can praise him for your family. One time I was challenged to pray for an hour, and I thought, there's no way. There's just no way. But then instead of saying, thank you, God, for my son, it was thank you, God, for my son, and that you've accomplished this in his life, and that you're leading him this way. And pretty soon, I was like, oh, I should pray for one of my other kids. You know, because there's so many things that God is doing in everybody's life. You can praise him for, or thank him for so many things. The next is confession. That's C. We need to confess our sins to God. Sometimes we go through the day and we think, you know, all I did, okay, I had a pretty good day. I just kind of got mad at that guy in the freeway and, you know, kind of yelled at him, but he didn't really hear me, so that's okay. But you know what? Whether we've told a little white lie or whether we've murdered somebody, to God it's all the same. Sin is sin is sin. God doesn't put the degrees on it. Man does. We need to confess our sins daily. Do a turnaround and try not to mess up again. We're all going to mess up. We're sinners. We're not going to be perfect until we reach heaven. But we need to strive to follow Jesus. The next is T, and that's thanksgiving. Thank God for everything in your life. I mean, it's endless. Thank Him you have another breath, that you got another day. Nobody's guaranteed 100 years. We never know. Thank Him for everything in your life, your family, your friends, your church, your pastor. Remember to thank Him. And the last is S, which is supplication. God tells us to let Him know our requests. Now that's not, you know, I'd like $1 million tomorrow, please. That's, you know, your daily needs. You know, some of us are struggling in different areas. Some people have used the excuse, well, God knows everything. Why should I tell Him? Well, God knows everything, but He wants you to share your heart. He wants you to know that He cares. He wants you to feel His presence. We need to ask Him. Now, I know some of you in this room are probably saying, Stephanie, you have no idea what I'm going through right now. And you are asking a lot. I have a really hard time reading my Bible right now. And I have a harder time praying. You know what? You're going through a valley. And that's okay. We all go through valleys. There's not a person in this room who hasn't been through at least one valley. Probably most of us have been through more. It's all right. But you know what? When you get into your praying, there's always things you can thank God for. And you will feel His loving arms. I really urge you, if you are going through a valley, most of us as women do not share that. We want everyone to think everything's okay. Everything's great. You know what? We're not always all great. If you're going through a valley, I urge you tonight to share that with your mentor or with one of the leadership. Please don't leave here going through something alone. Let someone come alongside you. That's what this ministry is about. We want to come alongside. We want to encourage you. We want to support each other. So please, if you're going through a valley, share that with someone. All you have to do is say pray. Give someone a hug, say pray. They'll call you later and talk about it. You don't have to give details. God knows the details. You know, if you want to share, great. If you don't want to share, that's fine too. But don't stay in that valley. Satan tells us, this is the way it is. You're a loser. God's mad at you. And we start believing those lies. And they are lies from the pit of hell. Do not listen to them. Let someone come alongside you and help you through the valley and help you come out on the other side. And someday down the road, you'll realize what God taught you through that valley. And maybe you'll be able to help someone else go through a similar valley. So by going through Lydia, I had to take a good long look at my time with God and what's enough. And, you know, I do send up a lot of arrow prayers, and arrow prayers are fine as long as you are also spending time with God. Don't make Him the last part of your day. He should be the most important part of your day. Just remember, spending time in the Word is not a chore. It is not an obligation. It is a privilege. Like I said, Lydia didn't have the Word, and we do. I mean, wow. You never know what God is calling you to. Lydia was being called to be ready to accept the Lord. She was being called to host Paul, and she was ready. If God calls you for something, are you ready? I bet everybody in here could think of a time this last month where someone's name has come to mind. What did you do with that? Did you think, I haven't thought of that person in a long time? You know, maybe God was telling you, that person needs some prayer. That person needs a phone call. You know, what about the gal you see every day when you drop your kids off at school, and she just looks like death warmed over? You know, but you don't know her, and, you know, you got places to be. You know, maybe she needs a smile or a kind word. What about the checker whose line you always stay out of because she's always grumpy? Maybe she just needs a smile. Maybe she needs some encouragement. God is calling us, ladies, to serve, to be there, to hear his voice. Years ago, I'd been married about 5 years. I was awakened in the middle of the night, and there was a friend's name on my mind who I hadn't seen in probably 7 years. Hadn't had any contact with her at all. She'd been married, moved out of state, you know, lost touch. But I felt this very, very strong urge that I needed to pray for her. So I got up and I prayed. And after a couple hours, I went back to bed. Got up the next morning, was fully rested, felt great. Had no idea why she came to mind or why I was praying for her. And about 6 months later, I ran into her mother, who I also hadn't seen in years. And her mom told me a story of about 6 months before when my friend had been literally running for her life. And she told her mom when she got to safety, I felt God like I hadn't felt him in a long time. I felt that he was protecting me. A car came at just the right time. People didn't see me at just the right time. I found change on the side of the road and I was able to call you. And I just felt overwhelmed that God had allowed me to pray for her when I had no clue what was going on in her life. Now imagine how I would have felt if I would have just rolled over and gone back to sleep. You know, I would have felt I missed it. God was calling me and I missed it. Don't miss it, ladies. If God is calling you, be ready. Be ready to answer his call. Whether it's serving in a capacity of the church, whether it's saying hi to that snotty checker, whatever it is, be ready for his call. So this month, I want to challenge you to seek God, to truly seek God through his word and through prayer. Go ahead and make your lists. That's fine. I still make lists. But make sure God's at the top of the list. And make sure your lists have enough leeway for divine appointments so that when God calls you, it's okay to, you know, spend 5 or 10 minutes with that person. Seek the Lord this month with all of your heart. Truly seek him. And be ready when he calls.